You know, I sat back in my office this week and I watched that video and I broke down because God gave us the opportunity, gave the world the opportunity to see what true and total forgiveness looks like. Begging to forgive. Forgiving is probably one of the hardest things that we do. And I don't know about you, but I keep records. You know, I have in the past. I've received numerous letters and emails over the years, and many of them were so hurtful, I just couldn't fathom ever myself writing such a letter to my pastor. And I kept them. And I keep them in a special file in my drawer with the intent, if I ever had to, I'd pull them out and prove that I was right. But you know, something happened. Each and every time I would pull one of those out on occasion, I believe it was the enemy saying, "You need to go back and look at that again." Every time I'd pull out one of those letters, I relived the incident. It all came back. All the hurt, all the anger, all the frustration, all the stuff came rushing back. And I was talking to a fellow pastor, and he said, "Jay, why do you keep that stuff?" He said, "Why don't you take that and when you get one of those, instead of saving the hateful things, why don't you save the text and the letters and the notes that are good? And don't live back there." And you know, there's something that happened because even this week I was reading a letter that I'd received a long time ago. And God, in His timing, isn't God so good that, you know, when you have to preach on forgiveness, you got to actually practice it, you know? And I pulled out that letter and I shredded it. Man, I struggled with shredding it because I wanted to always be mindful that I was right, that person was wrong, and I deserved vindication. I deserved what I thought was justice. All of us keep records, right? Listen, here's a real exercise real quick. So all of us have been hurt. I know that about everybody in here. Everybody in here has had to deal with this topic of forgiveness. So here's what I want. Take 30 seconds. And I want you to look to your neighbor on the left or the right and tell them about that incident, leaving names out. Go. Too quiet in here. All right, here's what I know. 30 seconds is up. You are just like me. You struggle with keeping records. If you have your Bible with you this morning, today we're going to be talking about three realities of forgiveness. Three realities that relate to keeping records. If you have your Bibles, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 4 through 7. Keep your finger there, but I also want you to kind of bookmark Psalm chapter 32. Verses 1 and 2. So Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, you know the chapter, verses 4 through 7, and then Psalm 32, 1 through 2. These are our foundational verses for today's message. And once you get there, I'd ask you to stand with me as we honor the reading of God's Word. And if you don't have your Bibles or your Bible apps with you, we've provided the verses for you to follow along. And would you just follow along silently as I read this aloud? Love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy. It is not boastful. It is not conceited. It does not act improperly. It is not selfish. And love is not provoked. And love does not keep a record of wrongs. Love finds no joy in unrighteousness, but rejoices in the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, and endures all things. Then King David wrote this in the Psalms, one of his many songs that he wrote expressing his heart. And he said, how joyful is the one whose transgression is forgiven. Can I just say, church, are you glad your transgressions are forgiven? Man, I tell you what, there's nothing like it. No, you don't have to live under guilt anymore. King David knew that. He says, how joyful is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. When God sees Jay McFadden, he sees the blood of Christ. That's the filter which he sees me. Outside of Jesus Christ, he sees all my ugliness. But with Jesus Christ, he sees all the beauty of Christ in me. How joyful is the one who comes to recognize that. He says, and in whose spirit, a joyful is the man the Lord does not charge with sin. Aren't you glad that he doesn't keep score? And in whose spirit is no deceit. David says, you know, when I kept silent about my junk, basically, he said, my bones became brittle. Ever been so tired of dealing with forgiveness and hurt and anger that you just were worn out physically and you hurt and you were tired of it? King David knew it. He says, brittle from my groaning all day long. For day and night, your hand was heavy on me. My strength was drained as in the summer's heat. May God add his teaching and understanding, and may he give us the strength in the application of these verses. And all of God's people said, you may be seated. There's something about recognizing that we have been forgiven. We love that part of being a believer. We place a lot of hope and faith in the fact that you and I have been forgiven. No matter what we've done, Jesus Christ went to the cross for us and forgave us of all of our sins. Amen? I mean, we recognize that. The problem comes when we try and practice forgiveness ourselves. God, we want your forgiveness, but wait a minute. Seriously, God. Do you know what they did to me? Forgiveness is really one of the most difficult, if not the most difficult topic we will ever talk about as the church and with the church. And we have a difficulty in becoming dispensers of grace. We don't like to talk about it. We don't like to discuss it. We don't like to dispense it. But as we've recognized, this is not a topic that we as believers can ignore. For those of us who have actually said yes, when God revealed to us the sin in our lives and the hopelessness that that brings without Jesus Christ, and we turned to him and accepted his free gift of salvation and forgiveness as we've confessed our sins to him, he is faithful and just to forgive us of all unrighteousness. Forgive us and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. For those of that, we have experienced that. We have no choice but to dispense that. And yet it's the most difficult thing, the most difficult challenge that God asks us to do. But the bottom line is this, that you and I are never more like Jesus Christ than when we forgive. Webster's dictionary defines forgiveness this way, to forgive. He says, to give up resentment. When we keep records of wrong, we'll talk about that and how we hang on to the pet peeve of resentment. It says, give up resentment of, pardon or absolve. We just saw a picture of that. Can you imagine? I just wept because I said, God, I'm not that good. Anybody with me? How could I forgive someone that took the life of someone that I love? Just look to God and you'll get the answer. That's how we do it. We took the life because of our sin of the very only begotten Son of God, his one and only Son. And he saw it and he didn't hold our sins against us. How can we say we are believers and followers of Jesus Christ when we hang on to unforgiveness? And it says to grant relief from payment of something owed. We talked about that last week. If you missed it, I encourage you to go to our website, listen to the podcast. Forgiveness is not denying that somebody hurt us. That's not forgiveness. We have to understand that forgiveness is saying, yes, what you did, there's a payment to be paid, but I'm going to leave that up to God. I'm not going to be the one that dispenses judgment. You know, in this particular incident, as horrible as it was, and it is, Do you know the prescription for the problem that we are facing together as a metroplex and as a society? We are struggling with the prescription. We don't want to swallow the pill of forgiveness. We certainly don't want to dispense it. Friends, when we begin to act like, walk like, talk like, and behave like Jesus, as that brother did to someone who absolutely was wrong and still chose to forgive, that's when we know. That's when we know that we're further along on this journey than we could ever imagine. But that's the goal. I would hate to think that I stand before Jesus on Judgment Day and he says, well, yeah, you said yes to me, but you did this, this, and this, and you know what? I'm going to make you pay. No, he says, we're forgiven. We're going to be judged not for the negative things. We're going to be judged for the things we have done for Christ. So there's three things I want to point out to you very quickly this morning. Three realities of forgiveness that we have to get a hold of. We have to get our arms around it. We have to get our hearts in tune with these three realities. Number one is forgiveness refuses to keep record of others' wrong. We just read it in 1 Corinthians. It says, love does not keep a record of wrongs. Sitting in my office, I had to admit, God, I don't love like you do. And I need help, God, if I'm going to be able to be a person that practices what he preaches in this area of forgiveness. Total forgiveness is really the epitome of love, is it not? Love is not ignoring or forgetting what's been done to us. That's denial, and it's not a river in Egypt. We don't deny it. God doesn't say that our sins, the book is full about sins, right? We know what we've done is outside the will of God. We've missed the mark. Love is not ignoring or forgetting, because that's denial. Total forgiveness, love, is also not constantly reminding others of their wrongs. That's judgmentalism. Think about your relationship just for one instant. Husbands and wives, we'll start with you. We'll work our way through the gamut here. When you argue, y'all don't ever argue? When you argue, do you ever in that argument bring up something that happened in the past? Come on, let's be honest. You bring it up. Well, I guess we're going to talk about truth next week, I guess. You ever get in that argument like, wait a minute, that was like 2 years ago. 10 years ago. Here's a man from experience, not afraid to tell the truth. We've been hurt, and you know, we get in, well, you did this. We can't, it's like we can't move past it. But that's not forgiveness. Forgiveness is being able to let go of those things and not be judgmental. We don't want justice, amen? That's what we've been seeing. We've been hearing all this. We want justice. We want justice. Can I just call the BS card on that? No, we don't. I can't believe I just said that in church, but... I'm just going to talk real with you. Thank you. I need that. It's a good thing that I've been forgiven. It's just not true. We don't want justice. If we truly knew what God's judgment would be on a world that has been damned to hell because of our sins, we don't want that. We want forgiveness. We want mercy. We want grace. At least I do. I want those things because if I get what I'm deserved, I'm done for. It's over. And total forgiveness is not gleefully pointing out, hey, did you know what Brother David did? It's not gleefully pointing out their wrongs. You know what that is? That's gossip. Scripture tells us about forgiveness. We're to go one-on-one, face-to-face, with reconciliation in mind, not punishment in our back pocket. Total forgiveness refuses to keep records of wrong. We've just acknowledged this morning that we all keep records. So we got some altar business to do here at the end of the service. All of us. We have to refuse to keep record of others' wrongs. See, total forgiveness, our love, is acknowledging what's been done to us or not done to us, but intentionally choosing to tear up the list, throw it away. You don't have to keep reliving that over and over and over again like I was doing. It's so much nicer to be able to move forward instead of stay in the past. Tear up the list and others' wrongs. See, that's Jesus. Forgiven. Forgiven. The only record we need to be really concerned at and driven from is through the Lamb's Book of Life. That's the one book where we want our name in the record. Second reality is, and this is going to be a little tough, because it was really tough for me. Forgiveness, total forgiveness, refuses to keep records of our rights. Man, I deserve vengeance. I didn't do anything wrong. Look how good I am. Let me shine my halo here a little bit. Oh, wait a minute, that's a bald spot. Forgiveness refuses to keep record of our rights. Now, I want to read this to you, Romans chapter 3. I just want you to let it sink in. Paul, a man we obviously recognize as one of the greatest authors in the New Testament, one of the boldest preachers of the gospel of Christ, says this: there is no one righteous, not even one. Well, I'm pretty good, Pastor. I'm better than you. Yes, probably right. But there's no one righteous, not even one, it says. There is no one who truly understands. There is no one who seeks God. On our own, we don't do that. God gives us the ability to do that. And all have turned away, and all alike have become useless. There is no one who does what is good, not even one. Getting uncomfortable yet? What if we put a cam in your car and someone cuts you off? What if we follow along when you fill out your income tax this coming season? What if we do X, Y, Z? None of us are righteous. The Bible says, it teaches us that we don't keep records of our rights either. You see, total forgiveness is not keeping a list of our rights. That's self-righteousness. We just heard from the Word itself, there's no one righteous. Man, I didn't believe that. God, I'm way better than, I'm going to pick on you, Pastor David, because you're here. I'm way better than him. And Jesus reminds me, no, you're not. None of you, either one of you, your righteousness is, in my eyes, is as filthy rags, what the Bible says. So we can't think about in this process of forgiving, but I'm right, but I'm right, but I'm right. No. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father but through him. Total forgiveness, and this is one of those we really struggle with, is not saying, see, I told you so. I wish y'all guys would have listened to me. I told you she was going to do that. I told you he was going to do that. I wish you to listen. I told you so. I want to ask you to raise your hand, but we struggle with I told you so's, don't we? Man, we get in an argument, it comes out. All that stuff comes out. Total forgiveness is not saying I was right, I didn't do anything wrong, they were wrong, and I want justice. That's just simple arrogance. We have no right. We all grew up with this, right? You remember that? Don't point at someone because you got all how many pointing back at you. You know, that's a biblical principle. We have no right to get past the mirror. And I have a big rock, and I've shared this before in my offices. They who are without sin, dot, dot, dot. I can't get past the mirror myself if I'm truly focused on Jesus, because he reminds me over and over again, as I love you, I have forgiven you, but you needed that. And you still got stuff going on in your life, Jay, that you still need my covering of mercy and forgiveness and grace. Total forgiveness, love, is acknowledging what's been done to us, but choosing to tear up our rights to be validated or vindicated. I shared with you last week, and it's one of those things that I'm ashamed of, but I used to do that all the time. I'd say, oh, Lord, yes, vengeance is yours, Lord, but let me be the instrument from which you distribute that. And we all have stories of where we at least thought about inflicting vengeance because we wanted to feel vindicated. Tearing up those lists and not having to have us be validated or vindicated, that's Jesus. Jesus on the cross imagined the list of all the sins, and he looks out and says, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. Jesus set the standard. And if we're followers of Jesus Christ, guess what? We have to follow his standard. Finally, the third reality I just want to mention to you this morning is that the hardest area of forgiveness is this. Total forgiveness refuses to keep records of our past. How many of you have a past that you're ashamed of? Keep those hands up. That you're ashamed of. You know, Paul was the same way. He said, man, I'm the chief among sinners. He talks about later, he says, those things that I don't want to do, I do. Those things that I don't want are supposed to do, I don't do. Oh, who can save me from this wretched man? Anybody feel like that? We know that we're supposed to do these things. We know that we're not supposed to do other things. Oh, who can save us and keep us on track? I praise God through Jesus Christ. Psalm 32, verses 1 through 4 says this. We just read, how joyful is the one whose transgressions are forgiven. I just want to stop right there because we've already read the verse. I want you to think about someone. It's a guy that had a name change later on in life, but he started off as a guy named Saul. And Saul hated you and me. He hated everything about Christians. He was a Jew's Jew. He thought that what they were practicing, what they were teaching, what they were propagating was dangerous to the Jewish traditions and authority. And so he would stand. He would stand and watch. He stood at Stephen's death as he was being stoned and held the cloaks. But you know, though, Roman times, there would be somebody do this or they would do that. And Paul was really good at doing this. Can you imagine this guy named Paul? He would go into people's homes, drag men and women, and separate men and women and families, and drag them out of their homes, and stand by whether they were either in prison, separated, or eternally separated, or earthly separated because he allowed them to be killed. And then this experience happened where he came in contact with somebody he didn't know personally. He had a personal, life-changing encounter with this one that we call the Christ, Jesus Christ, the Messiah. And on that road, God knocked him to his knees. And on that road, Paul, realizing that he was in need of a Savior, confessed his sins, and he gave his life to Jesus Christ. And guess what? Life for him changed forever. He had a name change. He had an occupation change. He had a focus change. He had a forgiveness change. Some of us are just like that. Some of us may have a Timothy experience to where we were just raised in the church and it became a natural thing for us to say yes to Jesus Christ, but we still all did things, said things. Total forgiveness is not ignoring what we've done in the past. It's not ignoring that we did those things that we're ashamed of. That's just avoidance. We got to face those things head on. We got to grapple with those, and then we got to let them go. Yes, that was wrong, but I've been forgiven. Not with arrogance, but with humility. It's a big difference when saying, oh God, how can I not forgive myself? You've forgiven me. Rather than walk in arrogance. Yes, right, I'm forgiven. Big difference in how we walk and how we talk. Total forgiveness is not always dealing on what we've done or not done in the past. That is harmful fixation. I did an illustration here, it's been probably 5 or 6 years ago, about Paul's statement to where, you know, he hasn't reached the goal yet. Has anybody reached the goal? No. He hadn't reached the goal yet, and I use this illustration of a lawnmower. He said, but this one thing I do, I put the past in the past, and I basically lean forward to the goal that's set in front of me through Jesus Christ. And if you imagine mowing a yard where you're constantly doing this, what is your life path going to look like? You're going to look back, and yes, so we have to stay focused on Jesus Christ to keep the path straight. And it's a narrow path. We can't do it without Jesus Christ, but there is nothing impossible with God. Amen? Here's another fallacy that Satan wants us to believe. My sin is too big for God to forgive. My sin is too big for God to forgive. Some of us live in that lie. Some of you sitting here today are probably thinking, you just don't know what I've done. I don't, but God does, and He still loves you. And He still forgives you if you'll place your faith in Him through Jesus Christ. Total forgiveness is not always saying that, because that's negating. You're negating the very power of God to forgive. How arrogant is that to say, my sin's too big, then we shouldn't be singing about my God, right? We shouldn't be singing about blessed the name of Jesus, because he just doesn't quite get there. But the way I read the scriptures, God is all-powerful. He's all-healing. He is all that and then some. He is able to do more than we even ask or we imagine. See, total forgiveness, love, tears up the list of our past and presses us forward, heavenward and forward and heavenward. It helps us as we walk through life, that we don't have to live back there with that U-Haul on the back of us. And we're pressing on to the goal ahead of us, where one day we will stand before that judgment throne and hear from Jesus Himself, well done, enter in. Man, that ought to make us try and practice more and more and more how to be more like Jesus. So we have to ask ourselves, so what? This book has just wrecked my world. It's called Total Forgiveness by R.T. Kendall. And in that, and I got, he's the American, he used to be the only American pastor that's ever pastored Westminster Abbey Chapel in London. I had the privilege years ago of meeting him several times, and then this book came along 20 years later. Someone handed it to me and said, Jay, I see things in your life. I really want you to read this. And here's what he said, one of the quotes. Satan loves to see us in our inability to forgive. Satan loves to see you, and he loves to see me in our inability to forgive, because he knows if you won't forgive, the ball and chain sticks with you. You can never run. You can never press forward. You're always going to be held back by something that you've done, something you've not done, something's done to you or not done to you. So Satan loves it when you harbor, and I harbor on things that, quite frankly, God is big enough to forgive. And as we shared last week, forgiveness doesn't mean reconciliation. It doesn't necessarily mean, because reconciliation requires two, forgiveness requires one. It's a choice. It's not a feeling. And then you begin to live in your choice and that truth of forgiveness, and it changes everything. That peace, I got to tell you, when I shredded that document this last week, peace came over me. I'm never going to pull that document out again and read the negativity and go back down in that pit again. Never going to happen. And I'm trying to take one of my mentors' advice and keep those records of blessing and praise and just encouragement. But when we don't, and this is, if you hear nothing else I say, hear this. When we don't forgive others, and we don't forgive ourselves, we're saying, and not so subtly, that Christ's payment on the cross wasn't and isn't enough. God is calling us to a higher calling because we're His bride. He's calling us to this journey of acting like, walking like, talking like, becoming like Jesus. And forgiveness is a part of the journey. And it takes sometimes, as I shared last week, decades. But it goes quicker when you're focused on God. instead of having to take all the side paths. God's grace isn't grace if we have to be good enough for it to apply to us and others. Let me close with this as the band's getting ready to come. Another one of Paul's confessions, if you will. I see this as a confession of his very own life. He'd given some talk before he wrote this, and he said in 2 Corinthians, he said, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, that's us if we say we've said yes to Jesus. Therefore, if you, Jay, put your name in there, is anyone in Christ, Jay is a new creation. I'm new. I'm a better model. I'm the latest and greatest version, right? Because I've been forgiven. I don't have to walk around with all that load on my shoulders. He says, old things have passed away, and look, new things have come. If there is no change, I really believe there is no Christ. And if there's no Christ in your life, there's not going to be any change. But there will be change if you said yes to Jesus Christ and you really meant it. Everything, he says, is from God who reconciled us to himself. He did that through Christ, he says, and he gave you and I, church, Connect Church, he gave you and I, fellow believer, brothers and sisters, he gave us, it says, the ministry of reconciliation. All of us have this. This is not one of those spiritual gifts that only a few have. He's talking to the body of Christ. He said, that is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses, not counting Jay's trespasses. Put your name in there against him. And he has then committed to us the message of reconciliation. Forgiveness is tough. But we've got to learn to tear up the list. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Right now, let's just declare this a holy moment, because where Jesus is, it's holy. And where two or more are gathered, he's there in the midst. In your words, just simply say, God, search me. See if there's any offensive way in me, especially today as it relates to forgiveness or unforgiveness. Holy Spirit, show me exactly what it is that I need to tear up today. I promise you this, church, if you'll tear this up, God will so bless you. He will fill you with joy and peace to be able to live in freedom and with hope for the future. But you have a choice to make. God, I want to be like you. So whatever it is that you're holding on to, those things that were definitely wrong, either by you or by someone else, what is that thing he revealed to you? What is it that the Holy Spirit is prompting you right now to let go of so that you can move forward? Holy Spirit, you are welcome in this place. I thank you so much that you're still in the business of molding us and forming us and helping us be more like Christ. God, I pray this morning for receptive hearts. This morning, even now, Holy Spirit, lay our souls bare. Help us know what it is to have freedom from unforgiveness. Help us to know what joy we can have by accepting your forgiveness and forgiving others. God, as we move forward as a church, we have got to get this in our hearts and soul. So this morning, Holy Spirit, do your work in a way that only you can. And we pray this Jesus' name. just a moment, we're going to start singing. I want you to picture those things he showed you this morning in your mind. I want you to just tear them up. I'm not going to live there anymore. I'm not going to let it control me anymore. Because I'm forgiven. I'm forgiven. Completely, totally, without hesitation. I'm forgiven and I want to forgive. I want to live in that. Let's stand, church, and as God leads you, I pray that you would just do business with God. You can do it in your seat, but there's just something about coming down and kneeling and just getting kind of focused on this, what God is showing you. If you feel comfortable to do that, come and just pray as individuals or as couples, as families, as students, as divorced or in the process, Lord, of having your past, you've done something horrible in the past. Bring it to Jesus. Let him tear it up. Let him tear it up. Let him tear it up this morning, and then you can experience forgiveness. You do what God tells you to do. Church, let's sing and let's respond where it would bring blessing and honor to our Father who has forgiven us.